So for those of you that are new here this morning, my name is Pastor Jeremy. Pastor Mike is actually away in sabbatical. So we've been going through a series on From Underdog to Conquerors. Now, before I go too far into that, I want to make one statement on the missions trip. See, in the first service, one of the girls that was up here talking, the first service said that Pastor Jeremy was crying on the missions trip. So I want to clarify for you guys, all hear rumors that I was crying on the missions trip, that we all cried because we chopped up a whole bunch of onions. It wasn't pleasant. Okay, so everyone in that kitchen was basically bawling, so it wasn't just me. Okay, so if someone comes to first service says Pastor Jeremy was crying, you know the story now. Okay, so as we look at From Underdog to Conquerors, last week we talked about Gideon and how we had this concept that we like the underdog story, but the concept doesn't go from let's just look at the underdog. We like when their dog becomes the conqueror, right? You don't want to cheer for Rocky if he just sits there and gets beat down in the first minute of the fight and it's all over. You don't cheer for Frodo Baggins in Lord of the Rings because he's an underdog and he doesn't make it. Right? You don't cheer for the underdog that doesn't actually become a conqueror. Rudy. We all like that movie, like the football movies. You don't cheer for Rudy if he stays and gets cut, and that's it, end of the story. Right? We want to see the whole thing, right? So last week we talked about Gideon and how Gideon was an underdog because of the internal stuff that he was dealing with. He was dealing with doubt, doubting himself, doubting God. And until he could put his full confidence in God, he couldn't become a conqueror. Once he put that full confidence in God, he became a conqueror. So this week, we're still continuing on with the From Underdog to Conqueror. But this, we're going to talk about the outside stuff, the external factors in our life that we just can't control and how they make us underdogs. Again, though, we don't want to stay there, right? So we're going to talk about how to get from underdogs to conquerors, dealing with those external things. I think we all agree there's some things in life that we cannot control. Some things in life that just come up and we have no control over. So we're going to talk about someone today from the Bible, which is a good thing. Okay, that's where we want to start. What we're going to talk about, though, is not what I planned. You see, I had planned to talk about Daniel. That was a good part to go. But throughout the week, you know, God spoke to me through my wife at one time, which is good, too. She said, what about finding a girl in the Bible that was an underdog and became a conqueror? I said, that's a good idea. And then Monday I met with Jared, our intern, and he also brought up, I asked him what he was reading. He said, I'm reading Ruth. I'm like, oh, well, that's what I was looking at doing was Ruth, because my wife brought Ruth up. So it kind of, God kept speaking throughout the week. So I changed everything around, went with Ruth. Okay, so you don't know Ruth that well, you're going to get a good taste of Ruth today. So if you want to turn to Ruth chapter 1. I would not put full faith up here because the screen's been going a little bit awkward today. So if you have a Bible or your phone, you want to look up the chapters there, the verses there, that'd be great. Because that could go at any time. Right now it's being good, so we'll go with it. So Ruth, chapter 1. Some things we cannot control in our life. So one thing we can't control in our life is our backstory. Okay, in other words, we can't control where we're born or the family we're born into. Okay, that's our backstory. Okay, those are things we cannot control about that. So we're going to start in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. It says, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. We're going to stop there in that verse. So the background right now, Ruth is an underdog because of her background story. She's a Moabite woman. What do we know about Moab? So Moab, it's another nation at that point in time, right? But where did they come from? You see, Moab was a son of Lot and his daughter. That came about through not very good circumstances, right? Lot leaves, okay? The daughter sinks, end of the world. They end up getting Lot to go with them, and they have a kid. Not what God planned, right? The Moabites then go on to become a thorn in Israel's side all throughout the Old Testament. They're not looked upon very highly, and they just really kept being there, just butting heads with Israel the whole time. So Ruth starts off as a Moabite. Granted, she married these Israelite men, but she starts off as a Moabite, which is an underdog, right? Not looked on very highly. So our backstory, we cannot control those things. We can't control the family we've been born into, which I can tell you from my own experience, there's been rough spots in my family when I grew up. Those things we can't control, but we have a backstory for a reason. See, Ruth is a Moabite woman. It's going to come into play later on in kind of a cool story you're going to see as we play this all out. So we all have this backstory, and we can't control those. None of those external things we cannot control. And it keeps us at that underdog stage. But how do we get from underdog to conquer? As we go on, you see something else that's another thing that comes up. This is Ruth. I'm going to start in chapter four, verse 4, the last part of that verse, actually. It says, after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. So not only does she have a background story, our background story is what sets the tone, external stuff we can't control. Sometimes we can't control when we hit rock bottom. You see, Ruth, I'm sure she had plans. She got married, had plans with her husband. They probably want to have a family like everyone does when you get married. Her husband dies. It talks about his brother for a reason in there. One of them is because in the Old Testament, if you were married to a guy and that guy passed away, the brother took care of you. The brother then became your husband. Okay? So the brother died also. So basically, Ruth's main goal, main plan, plan A, passed away. Old Testament times, they had the plan B set up for these women. When their husbands died, then the brother would take care of them. The brother's not there. She has now hit rock bottom. She is now at a point where she's like, okay, I had a plan. It's gone. Plan B, oh, he's gone too. Naomi doesn't have a husband. So now you have these three ladies hitting rock bottom. And we all get to that rock bottom point at some point in time in our life where we come across circumstances we can't control. Ruth could not control the fact that her husband passed away. Can't control those things. External things that impact our lives. I think of another story, actually more relevant to today. Some of you guys may have watched the movie Soul Surfer. Okay? The girl's name is Bethany. She was 13 years old. She was a surfer. She had a lot of great surfing stuff under her belt. She was learning stuff. She was going to be an up-and-coming surfing star. And then a shark attack happened. Can't control it. Bam, it's there. Arm gone. That's the rock bottom you hit. When these things that you're not expecting hit you, you cannot control them. You're at a point where you're at rock bottom. You're now the underdog, and you're basically being held there. See, Bethany, kind of like Ruth, had no way to control that situation. What has been your situation like that? See, we've all gone through it. We've all been pummeled. We've all been knocked around. We've all had that moment where we've been on our rock bottom. We've just hit it. That's it. See, Ruth is there. Again, she's a Moabite woman married to an Israelite man. The guy passes away. His brother passes away. There is no husband for Naomi either because he passed away. They're at rock bottom. What do you do when you get there? How do you get from the underdog to the conqueror? Well, the next thing that happens in the story is that Ruth is now faced with making a hard choice. You see, we don't get to control, we make the hard choices. We control the choice, right? But when you're faced with a hard choice, you don't get a choice in that sometimes. Like most of the time, when that thing hits you, you got to make a decision. Okay? So Ruth is now at rock bottom, and now she has to face the fact that she has to make a hard choice. She has to make a choice that's going to determine where she goes from here. And we've all been there. So what does Ruth do? Let's read about this hard choice. This is in Ruth chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 7. We'll stop along the way. So with her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you've shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. So Naomi has a plan, right? She says, listen, girls, go back home. go to your households, find a new husband, and live your life. I got nothing for you. So Ruth is now faced with a very hard decision. You have the easy way, and you have the harder way. Goes on, verse 11. It says, But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought they were still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." So the first time they say, "No, we're still going with you." She says, "But wait, listen, let me explain it to you again. I got nothing. I can't have any more sons. And then if I did, because remember I said if there's another brother, they become a husband for the wife, if that husband passed away." She's like, "If I did, are you going to wait for them to grow up to be your husband? You're better off going back home and finding a husband." So Naomi is trying to impress upon them to make this decision, to do this. Verse 14 says, At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." So Naomi pleads with Ruth again as Orpah left. Naomi pleads with Ruth again, saying, "Look, she went back. Go back with her." And Ruth is faced with this hard decision. She is choosing to cling to Naomi right now. This is one of the cool parts of this story. A lot of you guys may know these verses, but Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where I go, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Listen, this is a pretty cool moment in the story of Ruth. She is faced with a tough decision due to the external circumstances she cannot control. Naomi knows she's a Moabite woman, knows it goes back to Bethlehem with her. There's going to be people looking. Listen, you're better off going back. Find a husband. I got nothing for you. And you know what she does? She clings to Naomi and says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your God is my God." That's a huge statement of faith right there. Ruth has gone from a Moabite to someone who's saying, "You know what? I'm going to go with you, Naomi. And not only that, your God is going to be my God. I'm putting my faith in him." You see, when faced with tough decisions, we got to make it a choice. Do we take the easy road or do you take the hard road? There's some scripture about that, actually. You don't have to turn to this one. I'm going to read it for you. This is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." See, I don't think that everything's going to be easy in our walk with Christ. We're going to be faced with those tough decisions. We're going to be faced with external things that we can't control that knock us down. Because Satan wants us to stay here at this underdog stage. He doesn't want us to go up to be conquerors. So he gives you the easy way and entices you with it. But we have to choose to take that hard road. That road, we're going to have to walk through things. We're going to have to maybe walk through some struggles. Maybe we have to talk about our feelings. Ruth is choosing not to take that easy road. She's choosing to take the hard road because that's where God has called her to go. Maybe many of you have dealt with that. Maybe some of you have dealt with that choice of, do I take the easy road or do I take that hard road? Because when you're faced with that hard decision, a lot of times you have to make a decision quick. Let's go back to Bethany, the soul surfer, right? She's now stuck with a decision too, right? She's lost her arm. Does she give up? If you watched the movie, you know, she had people telling her, just, you're not going to surf. Kind of like Naomi's telling Ruth, go back home. She's got people telling her that. You're not going to surf again. Don't even bother trying. Don't break your heart trying. Just stop. Well, Bethany does, she gets back on that surfboard. She makes that hard choice to say, you know what? I'm going to keep working. I'm going to make things better. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to learn how to surf with one arm, how to balance with one arm, how to paddle with one arm. And all that stuff seems crazy to you as you say, paddle with one arm. How do you do that on a surfboard? But she's learned that. Ruth, same way. Ruth says, you know what? I'm not leaving you. Your God is going to be my God. I'm going with you. I'm making that hard choice. I'm taking that hard step of faith. I'm done being the underdog. Let's see what God can do and make me a conqueror. So not only does she face her backstory, right? She's underdog because of her backstory. Underdog because she hit rock bottom. Underdog because she has to face the tough choices. She's got to make tough decisions right now. But see, the coolest thing about Ruth is she puts her faith in God when she's in that downtime. She's in rock bottom. This is the first time you hear Ruth talking about God, really. She says, your God will be my God. So in that tough time, she understood that I can get through this with God next to me. God will not give me more than I can handle with him by my side. That's what she started understanding. And if we're going to go from underdog to conqueror when we deal with these external things, we got to understand we got to put our faith in God. God is the strength that gets us through these circumstances. God is the one that pushes us through these things. And yes, sometimes he does push us through these things. As you go on in Ruth, as you see that she becomes this conqueror by dealing with this whole concept of putting her faith in God, you also understand that she becomes a conqueror because she's willing to follow God. She's willing to do it. She needs to do. Another one of the hard choices she had to make was, we're not going to read through the whole story of Ruth, but I challenge you to read through this whole story this week. Okay? There's only 4 chapters. It won't take you long. But another part of the story is that she goes back to Naomi. They go back to Bethlehem. Yeah. People look and say, oh, that's Naomi. Where's she been? And who's this girl? You know, she's a Moabite. They don't really look upon her very highly. Now, they still had their property. Naomi's husband didn't sell the land that they had. They still had that. But now they have no way to work it. They have no money to do anything with. So Ruth decides, I'm going to go to the field, and I'm going to pick up what's left over. That's not exactly the most highly sought-after job. Basically, she's scraping for the crumbs that people leave behind in the fields to take home, to eat. So her hard decision she made to go with Naomi is still a hard decision. It hasn't changed yet. And then Boaz comes into play. Boaz is a relative. I said, read through that, you'll get more about Boaz. He's a relative of Naomi. He sees her, says, you know what? You need to stay and work with my ladies in the field. Take the food you need. Don't work other fields because I don't want to hurt you. Because sometimes the men there could hurt the women they don't know. Okay? So what happened was he started protecting her. So now you start seeing God start to work, right? She made this tough choice and said, I'm done being the underdog. I'm going to put my faith in God to become a conqueror. She still had to go through some tough times. Like I said, it's not fun going behind someone picking up their scraps. But then Boaz starts to come into play. Boaz starts to take her aside, get to know her, talk to her. And what's cool is, Boaz then decides, you know what? I can buy that land. I can buy that estate. And everything in that estate becomes mine. And then Ruth will become my wife. I can redeem, is the word the Bible uses, that estate. I can redeem that family. But first, there's a guy that's first in line. So he's got to ask him about it first. So he goes and asks him and says, hey, are you going to redeem that? Oh, yeah, I think I'm going to. You know you're going to get the Moabite Lady Ruth too, right? Well, I don't think I'm going to. You can do it. So again, Moabite made an underdog, right? But God still used that. And Boaz was able to purchase or redeem, is the word I like to use, the estate, which came with Ruth and Naomi. He was able to redeem Ruth. When he redeemed them, he made Ruth his bride. So he came into play, he paid a price, redeemed the the family and made Ruth his bride. Question. Who does that remind you of? Anyone want to spit it out? I hear some whispering. What? Jesus? Jesus. It reminds us of Jesus, right? What did Jesus do for us? Jesus saw us as broken underdogs. We're broken, right? He says, you know what? I'm going to pay the price to redeem them to become my bride. If you are a Christian here today, if you accepted Christ as your Savior, you are part of His bride. The church is His bride. It's a direct correlation to Boaz. Boaz is showing what Christ was going to do for us, showing it to Ruth. You see, Ruth had all these external stuff come at her, like we get every single day. And that's because they don't want us to go. When I say they, I'm saying Satan, the world. They don't want us to go from underdog to conqueror. But if we put our faith in Christ and understand that He has paid for us with His blood, He's paid that penalty that we're supposed to have. He's redeemed us. When we understand that and put our faith in that, we become conquerors. We become His bride. The most amazing thing in the world is become the bride of Christ. Going back to Bethany real quick. She had a strong faith if you watched that movie. She as well put her faith in God and said, I'm going to do this with God as my strength. And she did. And she is now conquering waves to this day, still doing competition. You can go on YouTube. I saw one recently. It's 2016 competition she was in. People are still amazed that someone with one arm can still surf. Just like people are amazed at a story like Ruth. Man, Ruth, a Moabite lady, is now an example through Boaz of what Christ is doing to His people. But it gets even better. See, you wouldn't pick Ruth for this. Let me just read this last couple pieces here for you. Remember, she was an underdog. Now she's been redeemed by Boaz. She's Boaz's wife. They had a child. Verse 16, this is in chapter 4, says, Then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. Let's stop there real quick. We don't hear much about Obed in the Bible, right? Might be a new name for you even. Okay? So they bore a son. Name was Obed. As you read the last couple parts of that, though, he was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David, meaning King David, man after God's own heart, meaning the line, genealogy line that leads to Christ. Who would have picked a Moabite woman named Ruth, who lost her husband, died, had all these things in her background, all the rock bottom times, facing hard choices, who would have picked her to be the one that would be put in the line for the genealogy of Christ? She was so much going against her, most of us would look at her and say, yeah, there's no way God can do much with that. Wrong. God can take any one of us and take us from underdog to conqueror if you put your faith in Him. You can have a story just like Ruth. Maybe you've been through a lot. But with God standing right next to you, He's got you. He's your strength. He is your Redeemer. He has redeemed you through His blood, through His body, which is broken for you on the cross. This is why we can live a life to go from underdog to conqueror. Doesn't matter if you deal with the internal stuff we talked about last week or the external stuff we're talking about this week. Putting your faith in Christ will get you from underdog to conqueror. Last week we said putting your confidence in Christ. They go hand in hand. This week we're going to go to communion. I don't want you guys just taking communion today, just taking it. That's not what it's for. It's to spend time in front of God, understanding that this is a symbol of what Christ did for us. Christ redeemed us through His body, through His blood. The bread represents his body that was broken for you. Listen, God knows all this external stuff you're going through. He knows it. It's God. When you pick up the bread and cup today, when you come forward and do that, go back to your seat and say, God, here's what I'm dealing with. I know you know, but I'm going to lay it at your feet. Take me from underdog to conquer with this external thing. I want to conquer. I want to stand for you. I want to be like Ruth and say, you know what? I'm all in. My faith in God. Lead me from here. And then you're going to have an awesome God story because God is going to work. So as you take communion this morning, don't just take it just because you always take it. Come up, take it. Sit down with your family. Sit down with your friends. Pray together. Pray by yourself. Focus on the external stuff you're dealing with and lay it before God's feet. Say, here's what I'm dealing with, God. My faith is in you. Make me a conqueror. And focus on what he did by redeeming us on the cross with his body and his blood that was broken and bled for us. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the story of Ruth, to be able to look at this redemption story and how Ruth was such an underdog. Everything was stacked against her from the outside. But Lord, you don't care about that. You just want our faith to be fully placed in you. And you can take us from that underdog stage to the conqueror stage. Lord, you came and you died on the cross for us. You shed your blood, your body was broken for our sins. Didn't have to. You chose to because you loved us. Just like you love Ruth, just like you love all of us. And we need to put our faith in you, and you will take us to awesome and great heights. Lord, this morning there's someone here who is struggling with external circumstances or maybe even internal stuff that we talked about last week. I pray they just lay that before you today. I pray they'll just meditate on your word and with you. I pray you just touch their hearts today as we take communion. Lord, this is your body that was broken for us. This is the blood that was shed for us. And we'll do this in remembrance of you. Amen. As you come forward, take the bread, take the cup, back to your seat. Spend time in prayer. When you're ready, as the music's playing, take the bread and cup on your own. Spend time with God. Come forward for the communion.